communicator Lucius Lucillus.
The sound was recorded on
October 11, 1962.
New University.
Isn't
it
shocking?
That's Mrs. Marshall.
Mickey, are you Marshall? Is Marshall you?
To overcome the worst of self, and to give full rein to that which is good, which is fundamental within themselves for the benefit of others. We have these incarnations because they are necessary. Without them, we couldn't evolve. In fact, all life, surely, is change, is movement, is evolution. Nothing stands still. There's no such thing as remaining static. If it were so, there could be no life after death. There could be no gradual evolution to a state of being whereby it was unnecessary to return to Earth in a physical body. Too much importance, of course, is placed upon names. Too much importance is given to things which in themselves are unimportant, and not enough is given to the things that are important. Evolution means that one must often return to Earth to evolve, for the Earth, in a sense, is the womb in which we are all born, in which we have our being, in which we are given bodies, in which we are given senses to experience all things, all manner of things. But the spirit, the life-giving force that animates, that is the part of us which grows and responds and eventually develops and evolves to such time as a physical body is never necessary, and rebirth is unimportant and unessential. These are the things I'm trying to teach you. If there's any puzzle, if there's any doubt in the minds of people who may listen to these recordings, it is because they themselves have not sufficiently discerned, have not sufficiently thought deeply enough about this whole matter. So many people are content. That is a tragedy of your world, that is a tragedy of life. So many people are content with their present existence, expecting the so-called death. They will automatically be transplanted into a new world which is much better and in which they will evolve. And this is only in a sense a half-truth, because although this happens and we are eventually in a world which is far, far away advanced beyond yours, and in which we have a more refined and more spiritualized body and being, with a greater knowledge and a greater experience and a wider vision and a greater opportunity, it alters not the fact that in many instances it is essential for rebirth to take place. Sometimes this takes place almost immediately after death. There is no consciousness for some people on this side at all. It is important because the whole cosmic self is so attuned into material things that they never, even at death, get beyond the auric range and auric condition of Earth. And they are already reassembled or reborn into physical vibration, in a physical sense. Of course, those who have had many incarnations and have progressed to a great extent do spend, as you term it, some time here for a period of readjustment, call it refreshment if you like, call it revitalization, call it what you will. There is a period for some, maybe from the earthly point of view, maybe several hundred years. But the time comes when it is felt the need, not necessarily for self, but the need to return to Earth for the opportunity to be of service. People in your world who talk so glibly and often as they think so wisely about spiritual things fundamentally know very little. And until one can assimilate this realization that all life is constantly flowing, constantly moving, it is never static, it never ceases to be, and even with some of the most highly evolved souls, people who in themselves have by their very nature of being, through possibly many incarnations, and their highly developed intensity of realization, even they, at times, desire, there's no reason perhaps in a sense why they should return from a material point of view, and yet from a very highly spiritual one, there's a very good reason why they should return. And that is that they might, perhaps in a brief existence on earth, give something of great value to their generation and age, perhaps to set an example, or to show the path which has been lost to many. All the great teachers and prophets and seers, all the great religious leaders, and I refer to those who begat religion in the highest sense, I do not mean those who followed and distorted it, but all those who came in the initial stages with great truths, who in themselves were men of great discernment and simplicity, and who in themselves often suffered very much materially, they gave deliberately themselves to come back and to be of the earth. People haven't seen the truths and the teachings of Jesus, for instance. They haven't seen that he was himself a reincarnation, that he will no doubt return again, possibly to earth. And that is why he sent his disciples, I presume, that he would return. There would be a second coming. Of course, a lot of people run around in your world with their strong biased religious views and expect him to come out of the sky in a material shape and form, and the world will end. This is man's interpretation. But you see, we who know, and it takes a long time sometimes for us to lead, even those with the most open minds, takes us a long time to bring them to the point where they can understand. That is the reason why, as you've been well told in the past, you've had to wait, be patient, why various things have been given you, why I, and I'm only one, have come to you under various guises and names. But it is the same person, whether you call him Marshall, or whether you call him Lucinus, or whatever name that you may have known me by, it's still the same I. The name is unimportant.
Mm. Yes, that's quite true, Dr. Jones.
What does it matter if some soul comes to you from this side of life, and it's the easiest thing to do, and it's done so often, and they come through and say, my name is Jeremiah. Mm. Well, you say, yes, Jeremiah. And as you get to know Jeremiah, you accept Jeremiah, and all the things that Jeremiah says to you. But if he were to come through and say, my name is not Jeremiah, but my name is Smith, you think, now why would he come and call himself Jeremiah? The whole point is that we give you names. Sometimes the names are truly our names, as we were known by when on earth in some particular incarnation. And sometimes, according to the individuals that we are communicating with, and their lack, shall we say, in some instances, of discernment, and because we realize they're like babies, they have to be taught how gradually to toddle and to walk, we may, for simplicity's sake, and to be easier for them, and because we can reach them better at their particular stage, call ourselves this or call ourselves that. Names mean nothing to us. It is what we are, what we have become, and what we have in the process of evolution made of ourselves. And the knowledge that we may impart to some must be brought down to a basic truth. And we may perhaps have to teach the child with ABC. And when we come to someone who has progressed sufficiently, we can adopt a more adult attitude and we can in consequence assume a part of ourselves if we are so longing to show, and we can then discuss things on a more highly evolved and intelligent level. But always we've had to pander to the individuals who are seeking, who are sincere in that, but who in themselves are not yet ready to assimilate very much truth. And so we have to give them a little glimmer of light that will so fascinate them, so help them for that particular time that they don't dwell in darkness. But when a man has had a glimmer of light and begins to perceive, very slowly but nevertheless perceive, various things that the light has shown, he wants a little more illumination so he can see more distinctly. In a sense, it is like going into a darkened room. A little light comes from a crevice, and you gradually begin to see the shape of the room, perhaps dimly objects, and you wish that your eyes were stronger and the light were better, that you could see a little more. So it is with us when we have to teach you on earth, we have to wait until you have begun to discern this smallest speck of truth, that we might eventually illuminate your minds, that you shall then be able to see more clearly and understand more fully, and gradually we can lead you into the full light. But if we were to bring full light to a man who dwelt for many years in a darkened room, he would be blinded. He would not be able to see. It would do him more harm. Possibly it would do him so much harm that he would never see because of the glare that would suddenly come upon out of the darkness. So we bring a little illumination. You know, there's so much truth in all religions, in the fundamentals of all religions. And the sad thing is that so many have strayed away from these truths which in themselves are the basis of all truth. In all religions a little glimmer of light was given, in some perhaps a little more illumination than others. And those who brought it, they realized that they gave it, that they would not always be welcomed, and that in many instances they would suffer the consequences. The man himself would resent it. Man often prefers to grovel in the darkness. And if you give him a glimmer of light, he's afraid of it. But you have learned gradually, my child, over a long period, to discern. As I told you before, you are an old soul. And much of this discernment is from deep within yourself, deep-rooted. Though you have not always been fully conscious of these things, you have since felt and been attracted to these truths that I am now in a position to give to you a long time ago, many, some years ago, when we were going through perhaps a rather difficult stage. You were very anxious and need to discuss incarnations, and I felt then that I could tell you very little, but it was not altogether your fault. It is often the fault of the conditions of others who in themselves were unprepared and unready to receive illumination. I knew that I'd have to wait until such time as we had broken down certain barriers and made changes. I know that you've had, in some measure, some disappointments, but these things could not have been avoided. Certain things might have developed in certain directions which might have been beneficial not only to you but to others. But human beings, when we have to deal with them on earth, are very varied and difficult. We have to bring about changes. In fact, we had to have certain experiences made possible for you, for the medium, and for others. We had to bring you to a point where we knew then, and only then, that we hope to progress. Sometimes materially, things often seem dark. But it's often at the darkest point that the glimmer of light begins to shine. And I feel that now we've come through mystical periods, and we are very truly on a path whereby we can all benefit from this wonderful contact that has been made. I have no doubt about that.
I haven't
either. I told you when I came through to see this that there would be certain things that would puzzle you, certain things that even you, with your very open mind, would not readily be able to understand or accept. Of course it is so, and we must expect that as I continue, as I go further into this, that this will be so. But I know that at least you will discern much,
yes,
whereas others may not. But for those who lag behind, it is in a sense, does not in a sense matter so very much, because they will eventually catch up. And perhaps in a sense it's a good thing that the medium isn't fully a fait and fully, completely and absolutely en rapport, as it were, with us on these things.
Yes.
Because I think that although naturally we want the medium to be fully cooperative, without a fully cooperative medium we cannot hope to progress, we cannot hope to do the things we set out to do, but it is as well that he sometimes does not fully understand. We do not want in any way his mind to influence that which we are trying to get through. And if his mind was rather like the sheep that follows willy-nilly, it wouldn't perhaps be such a good thing. It is better to have little opposition, if it's the right kind of opposition, intelligent opposition, the same as with you. If sometimes things are said that you don't quite understand and you ask me intelligent questions, as I no doubt you will, that will also be an asset to him. Because I can enlarge perhaps on things that seem at the moment obscure, or if you don't fully comprehend at that moment, later on it will no doubt come to you. The point is, we must have complete trust, complete faith. I know that I have that from you, and I think that the medium, apart from what he says, more or less does have complete faith. But I think he feels, to some extent, a certain amount of irritation, because we're not always as Jack Blunt as perhaps we might be, or as he would like us to be. You see, as I said, we have to go slowly, we have to prepare the way, we have to feel surely that the path is secure. We don't want you to know too much too soon, because it would be a form of psychic and spiritual and mental indigestion which would be bad for you. You've been brought through now a very nasty time, physically and materially, and I feel sure that the coming months will mean that you'll be able to benefit more and more, not only from the sittings, but from the spiritual force and power that has been brought here and been brought to bear upon you. I don't wish to take credit, but I will say this, and it's not exactly in defense of myself, not that the word defense is the right one, but I want to say that I feel that without that force, that power, that healing ray which has been placed upon you this last few months, you could not possibly continue it. In other words, we have prolonged, if you like, your physical material existence for various reasons. One, and chiefly, because we want you to benefit from these sittings, from the experience and the knowledge that will impart to you, so that others in consequence eventually will also benefit, that they may, through these sittings, learn. You see, those who mustn't have any illusions about the media, must we? Because although I want him to continue his work, as long as it is possible for it to continue it. I do not want him to feel that at a certain time he can stop rowing the boat. I want him to continue, of course, but I want to benefit from these sittings to get as much through of knowledge and experience that may eventually be published, so that others may read and learn and be helped.
Yes.
I do not know if you fully understand what I'm trying to convey to you.
I do, Doctor.
I always say to you, Rose, and yes. I speak truthfully,
yes.
I've always said, and you have, that have been near and dear to the medium and have worked with him for so long and treasure his mediumship and his good health. We've always been concerned with his welfare, but we realize there will come a time when he may not be able to continue to any great length, when his powers will wane with perhaps ill health, and in consequence, we want to do as much as it is possible for us to do now.
Yes.
While you are alive, we are sure of that, because, call me a cunning old fox if you like, but you know, while you're alive, he dare do anything else but sit. At least I am sure, when I put it like this, and I speak not for myself, I speak for all of us here, I am sure that while you are in good health, and while you are able to sit and be the receiver of the word of the Spirit, we should be able to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can, 2 or 3 evenings a week, give over to you our truths, which at some later date can be taken down and put into book form. I feel that they will reach thousands of people and help many. May not necessarily convince everyone, we cannot hope for that or expect it. But we feel that while we have you, we can work, we can continue. But I've always felt that should you not continue on earth for a little longer, that although the medium possibly through circumstances of material nature would have to continue his work to some extent, it would be on a lower order. It would be the usual kind of sitting for the type of people who have been coming for years. I fear that we may not have the opportunities that we have with you of talking on a more intelligent, intellectual, and spiritual level.
I see, Dr.
Do you understand?
Yes, I understand.
Because you see, if anything happens to you, I don't blame the medium for this. In fact, I quite understand the circumstances. But if anything would happen to you, the medium would have to continue his work. He'd have to continue it on a material basis. And also, at the same time, he probably wouldn't feel inclined to give up one evening a week for philosophy and teachings. He'd be more concerned with earning sufficient to pay his daily bread. So therefore, while you are alive, we are sure of an opportunity of talking some sense. So it behoves us to keep you going as long as we possibly can.
Doctor dear, I don't know what to say to that.
What do you want to say?
Hmm?
What do you want to say?
I don't want to say anything. I'm just listening to you.
A few more years possibly on earth for you would do you no harm. In fact, might even do you some good. But what I'm more concerned about is the good work that can be done through you, which possibly we may not be able to do if you were not on earth to make it possible.
I see what you mean.
And we have to face the fact, as I've said before, that the medium is not getting younger, neither will he get more in health. Though the health that we may give him, we can hardly expect that he will have the vitality and the force psychically to carry on indefinitely. So we must do the best we can while we can, my girl.
I hope he'll be all right, Archer.
Well, I hope so too. We should do all we possibly can. And I think if he is honest with himself and looks back onto the past years, he's been cared for, he's been guided, he's been helped, he's never lacked for anything that's really important, and I'm quite sure that he'll never lack. But at the same time, we would like to feel that when you come over on this side, that you will continue, to some extent, on the highest possible level. And we would very much like, of course, that he would give us the opportunity of coming on the level to which we have now become accustomed. I realize possibly a certain amount of work would have to be done on a different level for those whose need often is great. But we want, as I've said and others have said, to get, and we have to a great extent achieved that, get the vibration of the mediumship on this level whereby we can, after all these years of service, do the work on the higher level which will benefit all humanity, not just a few, but for all. That's our ambition, that's our idea, that's our intention, that's been our purpose for years. And we are gradually doing that. We want it to continue. Therefore, we hope that you will live many a day. Brought into your world on the level which it was intended We appreciate, naturally, the necessity of proof and of evidence and of comforting those who mourn. But beyond that is a greater realization of truth, which affects all humanity, in which we are all concerned, in which we are all an important part. The emotion of self on the highest possible plane of mental and spiritual existence. Those of you who are bound to us by such ties of love, as I've repeated before often to you, who are linked with us in this work, are many. The few that you know, to some extent, have some realization of this truth. But even they do not yet fully realize its importance or their place in it. And that is another thing that we have to drive home.
Yes.
And we have to make more clear to them, so that they will be a little more cooperative than some of them indeed are at the moment. And of course, we have to, in some instances, endeavor as best we may to rid some of them of their inhibitions, and some of them of the feelings, the thoughts that they have, which are detrimental, not only to themselves, but detrimental to others around and about them. In other words, begin to bring or try to bring changes for certain individuals known to you, the medium, who are in some measure associated with us, though they don't fully realize it yet. We've got to change them.
Who are they, Dr. Jeff?
Oh, there are many of them. There's Bradwell, there's Gwendolyn, there's Albert, there's Susanna Boy, the Italian boy who we feel has great promise.
This one?
There's this boy, Juan Morales. There's so many. There's your friend, Louise,
oh.
Eileen.
Oh, not they.
Oh, yes, they too.
Do you
think it's an impossible thing? Do you not feel it is possible? I realize that all things are possible. I do not suggest that they are necessarily going to be active members in the sense of becoming mediums or even becoming so interested in this subject that they will necessarily give up their own particular brand of religion. But don't you see that in some of these instances and cases, it is partly our duty to help change their natures, to help to change certain parts within themselves which are detrimental to their development and their growth.
Yes. Yes. Oh dear, I wish that would happen, Dr. Graham.
There is so much good in so many, and there are certain factors which unfortunately hold them back from surging forward so that they themselves could be freed to such an extent that they could truly be spiritually advanced. There are some, you know, child, who return to earth, and no matter how many times they return, they are static. I have said earlier that there's no such thing as being static, but by this I mean that they are, in a sense, though they are to some extent changing, as indeed we all must, even every hour, every day, there are subtle changes of which we do not realize, but there are certain parts, shall we say, in one's nature, in one's makeup, call it what you will, which do not seem to change. There is a subtlety of change, but nevertheless, it does seem that they change not. And that is why we on this side, possibly, have often spoken in a very derogatory sense and very strongly against religions.
Yes.
When they are so firmly fixed and implanted, not the fundamental truth of a religion, but the many aspects that man himself has built around and about religion, true religion, and in consequence harnessed himself, change himself,
yes,
that he cannot move beyond a certain circumscribed field, as it were. It's as if he's caught up in a magnetic field and he cannot move beyond it. And this focal point is that particular brand of religion which in itself will not allow them to go any further. It's like a dog on a lead. He can go so far, he can bark his head up. But it cannot get loose, it cannot move. It can go round in a circle, it can get caught up and tied up, but it can't free itself because it hasn't the strength within itself. It needs some master or some soul to come and unloosen the chain. You see, many of these friends who are linked with us, who are old souls, and in some instances undeveloped souls, and who must be helped, and it's our duty and our task to help them. We can infiltrate truth as best we can, but we've also got sometimes to be very patient. Indeed, it's required great patience. But there are certain things that we must try to do, it's our task to do, and they then in consequence can be freed and they can help others more fully.
How is it going to happen, Dr. Jeff?
Well, child, it will happen. If it doesn't happen in one incarnation, it will eventually happen in another.
Oh, I see.
But we would like to do all we can in this.
Has Louise got anything to do with us, then?
She has.
Or with me?
She has, child.
Yes?
Oh, she has.
Do tell me.
You know, and she had fought many battles. We crossed swords many a time. And it's always been on one pet subject, religion.
Really?
I told you that on several occasions you have come over here untimely through circumstances which you could not avoid, clashes of religious nature, and we go back, of course, again to those darkened ages when religion was in itself used as a weapon, even more than it is today, of political power, and when also sometimes, if a person, as they considered, of high religious upbringing and persuasion, did not like you because you would not see eye to eye with them on their beliefs, they would bring about your downfall. This has happened twice to you in regard to Louise.
Yes. To Ruth, to Louise?
To you.
Oh, to me, yes.
She is here now working out her salvation. And it is this very reason that you were introduced to her. You were brought into contact with her again, so that you might, in some measure, help her to free herself. Because this poor soul is one who has so tied herself, chained herself, not only physically, but mentally.
Yes. Okay.
And to some extent, the links that have been forged between you and this incarnation are essential and necessary. It was by no accident that you or she was brought in contact with you by an idle word that was spoken to you about her. You said, oh yes, I'd like to see her and so on. In other words, others made it possible for you to come together. And the point is this, there was much more to it than just music. Music is important. But music, there again, in a sense, was only the lever that was used so that you might reach her and help her, and to some extent you already have, but there is much yet that you will be called upon to do, and I think that you can do it. But don't think necessarily that you are going to change her religious persuasion, because that is going to be the most difficult task of all. But as soon as she can be released from the bonds of Rome, as soon as that is possible, she will find a new happiness and a new peace, and she will then begin to develop. there is much there that is good.
Yes.
But it is all done in a circumscribed way. I'm not saying that there is not goodness for goodness' sake. Do you misunderstand?
Oh, I know exactly.
You know what I mean.
I know exactly.
She has to learn much. And you have, to some extent, already helped her. And to some extent, although you haven't broken the chains that bind her, at least, shall we say, you have gradually begun to make her feel within herself.
Yes, yes.
That there is something that she must do, and gradually she is beginning to do it.
Oh,
you do not understand yet, child, that you are not just what you seem. You are much more than that. You have been an inspiration not only to Frédéric Chopin, but you have been an inspiration not only in this incarnation, but in others, to many other souls. I could tell you, and I shall tell you, and I shall open your eyes concerning your closest friends and acquaintances, some whom you have met in this incarnation for the first time, but most of them that you have known in previous incarnations, and they are working out, to some extent, their own salvation. And you, in some measure, in some instances, not all, are helping them. You are staying on your side, the earthly side, for a little longer. Not because you want to, but because it is good for you. But what is more important, because it is good for others.
I see.
I'd like to stay and talk much more tonight, but it isn't possible. But I shall come again as soon as the opportunity arises. And I will give you more detailed information concerning certain people now on earth associated with you and their links with you in past incarnations and why you've been brought together, and also not only because you can contribute something to them that will help them and make it possible for them to become better people and more advanced spiritually and mentally, but also because of their contribution towards you. Because don't think it's one-sided, because you too are receiving certain benefits of which at the moment, possibly in some instances, you know little or nothing from others. All are serving. Some do not even know they are serving. Your little friend Louise, I feel, depends more on you than she knows. And I'm not referring to material things, I'm referring to freedom of thought, freedom of expression, and being able to mentally and spiritually become conscious and aware of the realities of true life and true living and true understanding of spiritual things, you can contribute, and you will contribute more to her than you know. You sow seeds of which at the moment they have just seen very little fruition, but you will live to see, and it will please you greatly. Because she needs your help more than perhaps even you'll realize. You will see, my child. When next time we talk, I will concentrate on at least two of people most linked with you and why you are so associated and in what way you can assist and help and contribute to their welfare spiritually. I'm not concerned with material things, I'm concerned with spiritual needs. Anyway, I must go. The power weakens. And my love and my blessings to you.
My God.
I'll see you again soon. And do not worry.
Oh.
Because you're going to be all right.
Oh.
Now, I need to see to that. I don't want you over here yet. Neither do any of us. We want you to stay there as long as we can keep you going. But we never expect you to stay if you were not happy. Or if your health was so bad that it would be a terrible thing for you to be there. We should look after you and guide you in every way we can, mentally and physically, in every sense. You no need to worry. Don't think you're just a guinea pig, my girl.